So, you know, just real quick before we move on, I want to first thank you for having us. You know, it's been such an honor and a privilege to be able to minister to you and alongside you. Sung and I have learned so much. Can we give it up for Sung as well? All of you that have come up for the anointing for the commissioning or the order, or what is it, the ministry, full-time ministry, I want you to know that's what you have to look forward to. And what I mean by that is the life of a minister is a life of a servant. It's this is 0.01%. What you see up here is 0.01%. And I know Sung is going to be one of the greatest pastors of his time because he does the other 99% so well. And that's what I would want for all of you that came up today. You see, the stage happens after servanthood. It happens after you lay your life down. I always tell my people, I know you've come to our church to see if you can trust me. The real question is, can the Lord trust you? Yeah? So God bless you, all of you that came up. God does take what you did seriously. Because I remember when I came up, when a pastor like Pastor Benjamin and Sonny made the call, I was a young boy, and I remember responding. And God remembers. Yeah. Is your pastor always like this? Oh, okay. God have mercy on you. You know, but I will say this. Sung and I have been so inspired by your church. No, honestly, we're literally going back with a note full of things we want to impart and transfer over. You guys are so inspiring to us. I would also like to honor and thank the pastors here. You know, I know, you know, you guys, yeah. Yeah. You guys may not know this, but when Pastor Benjamin came down for our annual retreat a couple years ago, we have never been the same since. You literally cracked open something, and I have to deal with the mess. But you know, it's a Holy Ghost mess. And that's the kind of mess we like. It's actually a really good mess. And then when Pastor Sonny came down and messed with our ladies, I mean, they have never been the same. My wife started preaching after. You know that? So I'm so proud to know them. You should be proud to have them. You know, and I will say this to you. I know you are. I will say this to you. You know, I'm very, like, not in a mean way, but I'm very critical of churches. And what I mean by that is I study churches because I love churches like you guys do. And you guys know it's sometimes bleak out there. It's sometimes hard, and it's not always their fault. It's just church life is hard. But I thought about this church, and I said, Lord, this is one of the few churches, if my daughter was up here, I would send. And I can't say that about many churches. And it's not the coolness and the hipsterness and all the amazing. It's not how relevant and cool you are. There is a purity here that I really hope our church gets someday. And it's a pure fire for God. So if you ever think of our church, will you pray for us that we will catch what you have? I'm not flattering. I'm honest right now. I am so moved by your devotion to the Lord. I'm praying that my church, full of heathens, will. I'm being really honest. This is not being recorded, is it? I'm so moved. Honestly, your guys' leadership really inspires me. And I think I'm a good leader. But honestly, when I see you guys, I'm like, I want to be like you guys. I really do. I really do. I mean that. Song has heard me complain this whole trip, like, what the hell is wrong with our church right now? Lord, there's so much to admire. I just thank you. Thank you for treating me as a friend, but I do look up to you in many ways. Just know that. And I can't wait for you guys to come down again and just mess with us again. Yeah. All right, you guys ready for the last one?
Yeah.
Yeah? All right. So I heard that you guys have been doing impressions of me. Is that true? Who has been doing it the best? Who? Who's that, Jason? Jason, come on up. Come on up, Jason. I'm gonna have them read the scripture for today, okay? And I want you to do it just like me, all right? Yeah, let's put up the scripture. Yeah. Oh, you have a thing. Oh, okay. How many of you guys want to just see him do his thing? Yeah.
Pastor Brian, I don't want to be a leader. I don't want to serve the ministry. And I just tell him, just do it. Just do it.
I can't believe you did that. I can't believe you did that.
I don't want to stretch your cardigan out, so. And I said, no. My favorite one is actually when you were talking about yesterday's, you know, morning, you said, I'm such an introvert, I just go into my office and I'd be like, da, 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 da.
Hey, guys. Give me my sweater back.
Yeah.
So, yeah, are you ready for the real reel? Yeah. I swear, you know, is that how you guys see me? This is so bad. Oh, Lord. No, I don't want to stand anymore. Wow, I don't even know how to stand now, guys. Yes. Come on, you bunch of heathens, let's pray. Oh, Lord. Father, thank you so much. Thank you for this amazing tribe. God, that is not only on fire, they are inspiring others. Lord, I pray that this fire will never die, that it would only grow, that it will hit the nations as it already has, but in a multiplied way. I pray for a season of amplification. You will begin to amplify what's already here. Thank you, Lord. We cover this time, this last session. Lord, everything you've done in this whole time, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you ready for it? Oh, man. Are you ready for unity via common love? All right. John 13. So we're talking about what unifies us, right? We're talking about how, remember, we're unified under the same anointing. We don't want him to lift, right? We want him to remain. Yes, so we're unified in the same anointing, and we never want to let ourselves leak out through how we use our tongue. We're going to use it for proclamation, worship, and edification. And then we talked about disorientation, reorientation, right? And we talked about entering the real. And the church is the space of reality. That people are going to start coming out. They're going to encounter God in the real. And they're going to be able to face their life with the power of God. And you're going to set up a house of praise, a house of victory, no longer a house of victimization, right? Yeah. Right? And then we talked about, what did we talk? I forgot. Oh, we talked about, what was the second day? We talked, what was it? Yes, obedience. I forgot already. Yeah. Common obedience, that's right. And now we're going to do common love. Another way to title this message is Common Command. I'll give you a little background behind this. In the Old Testament and in the Middle Eastern culture, anytime a contract, I should say greater than contract, a covenant, anytime a new binding of two tribes or people or individual happens, there is always a new set of rules or what they call commands given, usually given by somebody who is of higher rank. For instance, if, say, this one tribe joined in covenant to back up this other tribe, and they entered what Pastor Benjamin called the fellowship, right? We would share each other's resources and back each other up. Let's enter a covenant. So this chief will enter a covenant with this other chief in that time. Well, the chief that's greater or has a greater army or whatnot, right, of greater resource, he will be the ones to set the terms of how we would now behave with each other. And so there's always what's called a new command under a new established covenant. And so it is when Jesus is about to establish the new covenant. He enters or he introduces a new command. Does this make sense? This is now the premise under which we will now behave. This is how we shall live under this new relationship with God. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. At the end of all things, people come under the judgment seat of God, and they face God or Jesus face to face. And he says, many will say on that day, did I not do miracles in your name? Did I not cast out demons in your name? Did I not do all these supernatural things that disciples are to do? And Jesus looks at them and says, away from me, you evildoer. Isn't that pretty harsh? If you think about it. First of all, if I was in that crew, if I was standing next to, on Judgment Day, a bunch of people saying to the Lord, did we not do miracles in your name? Did I not cast out demons in your name? Did I not do all these miracles? I will look at that crew and I'll be like, I just need to go to the back because I didn't do any of those things. Lord, just send me to hell right now. Lord, I didn't do any of this kind of crazy miracle. You know what I'm saying? They have what we would think the rights to claim entry into glory. But Jesus says to them, you are actually an evildoer. It doesn't matter what you do for me, as long as you are not living under the new command in the new covenant, you are not one with me. I don't even know you. The word know in that Greek is intimate fellowship. You are not even abiding with me. Because if you abided with me, it would have shown in how you treat people horizontally. Our vertical relationship is expressed horizontally. Yeah, you went around and touched people and anointed people. Don't you know that's my power that's on you? Yeah. That has nothing to do with you. Do you want to show me that you and I are one and that we are one body? You need to abide. And when you're connected with me this way, it shows this way. You see, you can do all the miracles you want. You can go and bring revival to the nations. You don't know how to love the brother sitting next to you. You don't know how to love the sister next to you. The world will not say you are his disciples. They'll just say, I think they're miracle workers. I like to be their fan. I like to be their cheerleader. I like to admire, maybe even put them on a pedestal. But I will sure not be their brother or sister. Wow. What do you want, church? Yeah. Do you want a crowd or do you want a church? Church. Hello? Yeah. Now, this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where it gets hard. Because loving people actually really sucks. It really sucks. Do you know, it's really, I shouldn't say easy, but there is a sense of adrenaline when you're doing things for God. When you're out doing ministry, when you're out serving the poor, there is this sense of like joy and pride that takes over you. And it's so fun serving the Lord, is it not? Yeah. You know, our church, every home group, I think your guys is called Connect Groups, right? Community groups. Every community group in our church has to go out and do missions work in their local city, right? So they, and every time they do it, they post pictures like, community group of Echo at the hospice, you know, community group of Echo at the hospital, you know, community group of Echo cleaning the beach. Community group of Echo cleaning Skid Row. Like, they're so happy and proud and they all attend. But this very same people that are so proud of their spiritual religious work, when I talk to them, they're filled with issues of bitterness, isolation, inability to connect and love their brothers and sisters in Christ in their own connect group. Mercy. You do all those glorious works, and they're good. They form you. It disciplines you. Yeah. Yes, they're good. But what is the greatest? It's love. And that first stage of it, the first level of it, is love for each other. Now, what did he say? The key words here, it's this. The command that I give you is to love one another, but he gives you a hint. He says, just as I have loved you. Not any kind of love. Not in any way. Because when we do it our way, it's called lust. Yeah. Yeah. His way is different. I'll give you a hint. The way Christ loves is Christ actually loves and expresses love or gives love before there's any sign of any chance of return of that love. It's called Christ initiative. He comes out, Philippians 2 talks about how he humbled himself and became man. The first missionary ever was Jesus. Even before creation wanted him, even before creation in its fallen state wanted the Lord, even before, there was actually no guarantee that humanity would ever receive and love him back. Yeah. But he takes the initiative and gives without expecting anything in return. Romans 5 says it like this, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still what? Sinners. While we were unable to do anything for him, he still died for us. So I'm going to get really practical today, right? We did some abstract work. We did some high thinking and stuff. I want to go really, 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 really practical today. Yeah. So all of you that are practical people that I've talked to throughout this camp, this one's for you. All you left-brained people, I lack a points, I lack a practical, give me blueprints. I lack a coding, please give me the coding version of this. The artistic side of me cringes as I give you this. So we're gonna get very practical. And I think you guys know actually what I'm about to say. If you think about it, it's not that he just loved us. And it's not just that he took initiative. He is the first true missionary of love because he learned humanity's language. What do I mean by that? If you're a missionary and you are sent to, like, say, China or wherever, what is the first thing you're going to study? Yeah. You know, Americans are the only people, me included, when I go to other countries, like I was just in Hong Kong and in Korea, we're the only people that go to other foreign countries and go, why are things not in English? Do you know that? I was in Korea like literally 2 weeks ago, and they turned on their navigation system, and it was, how dare they? It was in Korean. And I was like, how am I supposed to know where this shop is if it's in Korean? How dare you? What are you, Korean? Don't you know? You know, it should be in English? Why are you so behind, right? We're the only ones, literally. Right? A couple years ago, my wife and I were in Italy. What is this? Who do they think they are? Italians? Right? Right? I was so happy when I was in Israel because it was like English everywhere. Good! 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 What are you? The Hebrew people? Right? Bunch of Israelites? Right? What are you? Thank you for English, you know, signs everywhere. What is one of the first signs of love? You learn how to communicate that love. See, it's not enough just to love or have love. You need to deliver it well. So in our church, we learned a very practical tool. And a lot of you may already know this. We studied Dr. Gary Chapman, 5 Languages of Love. He discovered that there are 5 languages that people have in how to hear and receive love. And when we don't study their language and we insist on our language, right, that is not really loving. You may have that love for them, but you're sure not loving in the way you try to give it to them. So what are the 5 ways? And I'm telling you right now, every one of these ways, this is why I so admire our Lord. Because our Lord could have come to us in the incarnation. He could have said, all of you speak my heavenly language. All of you relate to me the way I relate in my realm of the real, real. Right? And we would all be like, oh, we don't know how to do that. We just don't know. Oh, dude, we don't know how to do that, Lord. We will feel so demoralized, so weak, so embarrassed. But what does he do? He understands. I mean, come on, guys. He created us, right? So he knows our languages. He studied our languages. And he said, you know what? I need to go spend time with them. Why is he called Emmanuel? God with us. Because he says, is this how you receive love? Then I'm going to show up. And I'm going to dwell amongst men. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to literally spend 33 some years with you. Why did he spend 33 some years? Because he's trying to communicate something. You know, think about it. If he was just to be a sacrifice, he should have been born and then killed. Really. I'm born, I'm pure, I'm a pure lamb of God. Passover lamb, here I am, flick. Right? Right? Now someday, if I get invited back, which I may not be, right? But if I ever come back, I will talk to you about why he had to live the 33 years and why he had to die on the cross and not in the temple. Yeah. We'll talk about that. But I have to say some for later so you guys will want me back. It's funny because most of you are like, I already know. Right? But another reason is love. Think about it. 33 some years he spent with us. So we can always say he's not just Emmanuel in theory, he is Emmanuel in real life. Words of affirmation, he is literally the Word of God incarnate. He literally is the letter of God to us. He is literally the love letter of God to us. Right? Gifts. He not only gave us the gift of salvation and redemption, what did he do after he resurrected? He literally gave us the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit literally started giving us some beautiful gifts. Not only supernatural and natural gifts, but the gift of community and fellowship. I mean, this God knows how to communicate his love to us, right? He touched us. He touched us. He came, Emmanuel walked around. You know, he could have walked around and spoke healing to everybody. Why did he take the time to physically touch humanity? He's expressing something. And finally, acts of service. He gets on his knees and washes the feet of his disciple. Our God doesn't talk love. He is love. So I just want to know. Do you want this common command in you? Do you want to be under the common? Do you want to be united under the new covenant, which is the new command? Do you want that? Then you must love. You must not just love, you must learn to love well. Churches, to the world, churches should be the place where they go, I need to learn how to love. I need to go to a church, even if I don't believe in God, I think, hey, honey, you and I are about to get married and we don't believe in God, but we think that marriage is important and we should learn to love each other. We should just go to a church. Because at that church, even if we don't believe in God, they seem to master the way of love. So let's just go, honey. And I guarantee you they'll come and then they'll learn and then they'll go, whoa, I love this. And then they'll go, I love this. Right? So let's talk about this. The language of quality time. Now, before I do this, I want to show you a picture of our membership catalog, okay? Now, this is a site that we have for all of our members, okay? We have a membership directory, and in it, on the left, you'll see every department at Echo, okay? Because 100% of our membership has to serve. Do you know why we do that? Not because I am a tyrant. Do you know why we do that? Ask me why.
Why?
Because we believe in the Sabbath. And when 100% serve, then people can rest. Right? When only 20% of the body serve, which is the average in America, they carry the 80% of the burden. Right? The same band plays. The same Sunday school teachers teach. The same parking lot people serve. What happens? There is this phenomenon called burnout. Yeah. And on the Sabbath day, people burn out. This is weird. It's oxymoron. That should not be happening.
Yeah.
That's a side. That's a free one. So on the side, there's all every department. And every member has a profile. And in it, let's go to the next one. In it, it shows which connect group or community group they're a part of. It shows which spiritual gifts they have. And it shows what love language they have. You know why we do this? Because our task is to love. We take this command very seriously. This is not a nice verse in the Bible. This is the verse in the Bible. This is the command of Jesus our Lord, who is our master, our rabbi. And he has said, under the new covenant, the primary thing you should be doing and practicing is love. And if you really are my disciples, you will take this very seriously. So we said we will take it very seriously, Lord. So seriously that every member will take a love language test. So we will know how to communicate that love to them better. So whenever there's tension or strife or conflict, we ask the leaders of that group to go in and look at their profile. What's going on? How can you communicate love to them? How can you show them? How can you reconcile with them? How can you bring them back into the fold? How can you execute the command of our Lord? And you, the body of Christ, you should look at it and say, how this person is in my community group. I need to learn how to be an expert at their language. Every member of, now, this doesn't mean we do it well. This means this is what our primary goal is. So this lady, Alice, her love language is quality time and words. And actually, she's an old friend of mine. She's my wife's close friend. You know, we introduced the couple together. Her husband is one of my longest friends. We've been friends since like fourth, fifth grade. We got saved together. Now we serve in the same church together, right? And I can validate that. Her love language, I would say, is quality time. And so Alice, when we try to love on her, we don't go and go shopping for things. Yeah. We don't go and you know what I mean? We don't go and wash her car. Yeah. We call her and go, you want to come over Sunday night? Yes. You want to hang out? Yeah. Come on over. Boom, they're over. We have the greatest time. Her love tank is full. Yeah. And my wife and I has practiced the way of our master.
Yeah, so good.
How many of you guys here are quality time? Yeah. How many guys know that that was their language? That is now your job.
Yeah.
Now, quality time, people, they tire me out. So I love you, but I feel like my whole church is quality time. After every sermon, seriously, it's, Pastor Brian, can I ask you something? Oh, yes. I feel like they're going to ask me something like theological or they want prayer. Something spiritual. Hey, Pastor, can I talk to you? Yeah, yeah, what's going on? What can I do for you? can we hang out this week?
Hey, this is not being recorded, right? We're really gonna. Hey, some of you went to my old church. My church. Hey, Brian, you better go with that, man.
It's because I'm such an introvert. So for me, like, it takes me about a month to get ready to meet you. I have to muster the strength. But I do it because I love them. Sung does my calendar, right? My calendar is packed till next year. And part of it, we do that because I have to schedule it because I have to know who I'm meeting. So I can get the courage and muster the emotional strength to meet with people. Anyways, but I, no matter, so watch this. All you introverts, I have a word for you. Your introvertedness is no excuse for not obeying the command of Christ. By the way, I am 10 times more of a black belt introvert than you. I am. But guess what I do? I make sure I do whatever it takes to get myself recalibrated emotionally so I can be there for others. Yeah. so I can walk with my congregation. I invite them over, as introverted as I am, I invite them over. I take long walks with my members. When they come over my house, we literally walk the neighborhoods. And I talk, I listen. I do that because I'm a Christ follower, not because I'm an extrovert. Yeah. Your personality makeup has nothing to do with how you obey God. Okay? All right. So, quality time. Now, remember, you guys know this, right? Dr. Gary says there's some people have a language that they have it helps them receive. And some, their giving is a different language. So some of you might receive love through quality time, but you may give it through words or action, acts of service, okay? But I just want to talk about receiving for a second, because you have to master and know at least your community group, guys. You have to at least know how they receive love. Because by that love, people will know this is one church. Okay? Secondly, words. Words of affirmation. Who's words of affirmation? I love you guys. I love you guys. I love you guys because you guys were born in the right time of history, right? You are, because back in the day, it was very hard to love you because we would have to write long letters on a paper, right? Dear Christian sister, I write to you on November 25th of da da da, and we would have to write long letters. Now, what's up? And don't lie. You know how you love people with words of affirmation? You just send words. No, seriously. People in my church that are words of affirmation, I love them. It's so fun because on a Tuesday morning, I get to my table, I get to my desk, I turn on my Facebook Messenger, right? Boom, I turn on my Facebook Messenger, and I ask the Lord, Lord, who shall I love on? And the Lord gives me faces, bum, 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 right? And then I think about it, what kind of love language do they have? And then the ones that are words, I take them, right? And then I start writing to them. I tell you what. I write. Now, this is heartfelt writing, but it doesn't have to be long. I'll just write, hey, thinking of you, praying for you, yeah. Have a great week. Yeah. Do you know what I get back? Dear Pastor Brian. I get 5 pages. But can I tell you something? I read every word. You know why? It's not because I'm a pastor, it's because I'm a Christian. It's because you're a pastor, that's your job. No, I did it before I ever got that title. Because I am the person of the way of Christ. So my people know when they email me, it's funny because they know I read everything. So they'll just write. They'll tell me that I didn't get time with you on Sunday, so I shall write you. So I write. I read and I pray for them. You know why? Because I love them. That's really the reason. It's not because I want to use them or make them do something for the church. It's because we're fellow Christ followers. That's all. That's it. Is that okay with you? Yeah. So who has the words of affirmation? Raise your hand. Yeah. Watch. Look at them. Keep your hands up. Ready? They're not gonna say it, but watch. Just text them one sentence. Just one. Just be like, and it doesn't even have to be anything spiritual. It could be like, what's your name? Emily. It could be like, Emily, loved the jean jacket you were wearing at camp. You know what she's gonna do? She's gonna get it in the middle, in the hallway of her work, and she's gonna be like, oh, shoot. She's gonna wear that jean jacket next week.
And she's gonna wear it the week after that. And she's gonna wear it the week after that. I am a words of affirmation guy. Words, actually gift and words. So it's hard with me because I love gifts. But but words, I'll give you a case in point. Every single card and letter that anyone in my church has ever written me, I have it. I saved every one of them. Because someday I imagine myself when I'm an old man, gray, and I'm retired or whatever, in my little cabin somewhere, isolated by myself. I'm not kidding. I'm going to open that box up and read it again. Because that's how I fill my love tank. Because I'm human. And they need to love me. My wife knew this about me, so on my 40th birthday, she asked the congregation to write me. And she took every one of their letters and put it in a book. And she printed out, binded this book together, and she put pictures. If like Sung wrote to me, she would find the picture of Sung and I, put it on, and then she put his letter. Man, when I saw that, I was like, ah. I was so moved. I was like, honey, this is the best gift ever. This is the best gift ever. It's in my office. It's in my office. And anytime I'm discouraged or my heathens really bother me, I just look at that. I just look at that book and I go, glory to the Lord. Glory. All right. Some of you guys are gifts. Who are gifts? Yeah. We love you through gifts. You are the most expensive friends we have. You are costly to have. Right? Who is touch? You receive. Yeah. By the way, side note, ladies, if you're dating, every man will say, my love language is touch. I just want you to know that. It's a lie. It's a lie. Go ask their parents what their love language is. Oh, we thought my son was words of affirmation. He's like, whoa, your son told me his primary and only language is touch. It's not. It's a lie from the pit of hell. All right? But my brother-in-law is literally this, touch. So much so that when I first started to get to know my brother-in-law, it was really weird for me because my brother-in-law is like so touchy. So like one time we were walking in a mall together, and this is like early on in my marriage, and he came over and we're walking in the mall, and straight up, he just starts like holding me. And we're walking in the mall, and he doesn't just hold me, he's caressing me. Right? And he just rubs like my body up and down, like he just has to have his hands on me, right? And it doesn't help that he's like really tall and thin and he likes to wear long V-necks, right? And so he's like standing next to me and he's just holding me like this. And so a couple times over the years, I'm like, stop it! I'm uncomfortable, right? I know he's seriously touched. Like my wife and I will be like in the bed, like holding each other and talking to him, like on the couch or something. But we're on the bed, like talking to him. He can't stand it. He'll jump off the bed. Do you know people like this? He'll jump off the bed and hold both of us. He'll cuddle. And we'll say, you are a grown man. You are over 30 years old. You should not be in between us. Who's touch again? Oh my God. Look at these folks. You know how you, yeah. You know how you bless them? Now, remember, it's not just you have love, you have to give it well, right? You know how you love them? Well, every time you see them, I want you to touch them. And that sounded weird. Every time you see them, I want you to hug them. I want you to embrace them. Watch, their love tank becomes full. Right? Watch, what happens if some new member or new guest comes into your church one day and they walk in and they're watching in the back and they notice gifts being given?
They're like, whoa, what was that? And then they notice people embracing, like genuine embrace. They notice people holding hands and praying and giving words of prophecy over each other. They notice that they're helping out with, you know, maybe some parents' kids and watching some kids, acts of service. I guarantee you, a newcomer will go, I think by... Hello, yes. Do you understand? And finally, acts of service. Yeah. I believe every woman in the world have a built-in language called acts of service. I believe this is the language before they learn words. I did not know this. My wife and I, when we first got married, she is literally acts of service. She understands love through service. And I didn't know because I was such a word guy. And so remember, it's not that you have love. You have to love them enough to learn their language, right? Yeah. By this, they will know you are his disciples. Common love, common command. So we got married. I remember the first apartment we had. We're such a cute little couple. We're such newlyweds. We love each other, right? And so I decided every day I'm going to express my love to her. So every morning I will go before she would wake up, you know, before, you know, I had to go to work before her. And so I would get these notepads, you know, those sticky pads, and I would write just loving words to her. Hey, babe, about to go out to work, just looking at you sleeping. Ooh, oh, thank you, so cute. Love you, can't wait to see you tonight. Bye-bye. And then I'll stick it on the refrigerator and I'll go. Then I will do this every morning. And every night I will come back and she'd be saying nothing. I'll come back and I'll be like, hey, how's it going? Did you see anything today? And she's like, no, what are you talking about? I was like, you didn't see the sticky notes on the refrigerator? And she'd be like, oh yeah, that was cool, thanks. what? Why don't you just pierce my heart now, right? What do you mean, thanks? And so I would just eat like dinner with her, like staring at her, like, thanks, thanks, is that it, is that it? After I express my love to you, took time to write you words, you can't give me my words. You can't give me my language, right? And then one day, one day it dawned on me, after dinner. Now, I usually, you know, I help out with the dishes and stuff. You know, I'm not that old school, right? So I'll be like, after we ate, I took the dishes, and I was cleaning, and I usually clean the dishes and stuff. But I did something extra that day, because usually I take out the trash on a certain day. And on that one day, this revelation came to me. As I was doing the dishes, I decided to just clean the whole kitchen. I was just like, it's so messy. I need to do something about this. So right after dinner, without her telling me, right? I just started cleaning. Next thing you know, some of you married men know what I'm talking about. I can feel the gaze of love. Right? I'm just wrapping the trash can bag, and I can feel heat. I can feel passion. I can feel sexual healing, right? And she's eating dinner. She's finishing her dinner like this. And she goes, I kid you not, it was a really hot moment, you know? So we have four kids. And so she goes, what are you doing? what are you doing? And I was so confused. I was like, what are you talking about? Be quiet, I'm trying to clean on it. Everything is so dirty over here. I was all grumpy. And then I took the trash bag
And I had to cross her to go to the trash can. So I took all this, and I was walking past her. Past her, right? And then she's like, oh, this looks so good. And I can just feel her. I can feel her lust. And so I was like, taking out the trash bag. And I was like, oh, something's happening here. So I came back and I was like, So then I just started scrubbing things. Right? I was like, you like that? You like that? You like that? You like that? Right? She was gone. So then I said, oh my God, I have discovered this foreign language. So I decided, watch this, so I decided not to write in the mornings. I would get up early and I would go and fill her car up with gas. Yeah. I would get up and make sure her car was washed. I would get up and make sure the house was clean. Sexual healing, man. And guess what happened? She started writing me. She started texting me. She started looking for ways to communicate how much she loves me. We started speaking languages we can understand. And in doing so, people began to see that we are his disciples. It's not just having love, it's learning how to give it. Okay? So let's land this plane, yeah? Do you believe me? Matthew 5 says, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. So, listen, our primary task as his disciples, what binds us together as one people, is we submit to the one common command, which is we have to learn to love each other. But also, this love has to spill over now from this community to those in our workplace, in our families, and in our cities that never deserved it. And we have to take initiative like Christ and love people outside of our community before what? While they were yet sinners. While they're yet undeserving. There are people in your home right now that need this love from God. There are people in your workplace and in your cities that need it right now. Your love tank needs to be so full from here that you have enough to go out and give it. And if people out in your workplace go like, hey, why are you always taking Jack out to lunch? He never seems to take you out. He never treats you right. How come you're able to do that? And you say, oh, I have a community that all my whole love tank is full when I'm there. So when I'm at work, I don't need to be loved. You see, I have a love from the Father that's so abundant. And then I have a love from his people that is so, so rich. That when I'm in my home, when I live with people that are maybe not Christ followers, or I work at places that are not Christ followers, it don't matter anymore for me. Because now I'm here to give. And I do not give like the world gives. Come on, somebody. I'm here to just bless. Some of you guys are like,
Pastor Brian, but this sounds so mundane and so practical. I feel like the world will change only through supernatural God visitations. Can I tell you something? Do you know how Rome was won? Do you know how Rome was toppled over by Christianity? It wasn't through miracles. It wasn't through signs and wonders. Do you know how? You know what historians say? Historians say when the plagues hit Rome, when devastation from the plagues hit Roman culture, and Rome pagan priests would leave the city because they didn't want to be diseased by their own people. Parents would drop off their kids in the middle of the street and abandon them because they didn't want to die. And the rich in the Roman culture will flee their cities because they didn't want to be diseased. Do you know the only people that remained in every Roman city were Christians? And Christians decided to stay, and they said, we need to give as God gives, not the way world gives. And they decided to stay and take care of all the sick that was left behind. And historians, this is historians, not Christians. This is secular historians saying, and even in Roman culture history, they have recorded, they call them the impious Galileans. The Romans would call Christians the impious Galileans. The followers of the Galileans would stay in the cities and risk their own lives and take care of the sick. And then they said, historians would say, the reason why they think, and I think this is where the supernatural actually came in, but historians say the reason why they think Christians were not affected by the plague is because they stayed so long that they became immune to it.
Wow.
They actually developed immunity.
Because
of their love for pagans, for the world.
Wow.
And they took care of the sick, the children, and they said this is the starting point of Rome being toppled over by Christianity.
Wow.
Because Rome and Roman citizens will look at the followers of the Galilean and say, what is this? Even my parents abandoned me.
Yeah.
And they would say, oh, we have a love from above. His name is Jesus. And they say many Christians died doing this, and many became immune doing this. And the faith of Christianity spread. So let me ask you something. You want to win San Francisco? You want to win Emeryville? You want to win the nations? Practice the common command. Be a loving community. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Common anointing, common obedience, common praise, and a common command. This is living hope. The people of love, people marked by love. Yes, the Lord will bring the supernatural like he always has. He loves his signs and wonders because they're expressions of his kindness. But I tell you, he will not do the hard work of love for us. That's our job. That's our privilege. That's what marks us as disciples. So right now, I want you to ask God for his kind of love. Let's get real now. Let's get really practical. Ask him right now for a love for living hope. Lord, this is no longer just my religious center or religious community. This is no longer a place where I just come to get blessed and blasted. This is where I come to exercise my faith. This is where I come to obey the primary command to love one another. This is now my tribe. Go ahead, tell him. Ask him, give me that love, Lord. Show me how to love. Every week, I tell you, every week you should come with words of affirmation. You should have gifts ready to be given. You should have some acts of service ready. I tell you, every parent in Living Hope, man, they should be bombarded by, hey, would you like for us to maybe babysit so you guys can have a day off and just rest? My gosh, what happens if a church started doing stuff like that? Everybody will want to come here. Man, that's the house of love.
That's a house where love is actually tangible.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
So, Lord, I pray for Living Hope. God, I pray you give us the power to obey your command. Give us the will and the discipline. I bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May Christ be victorious in your lives.